What podcast should I listen to next?
Welcome to What Podcast Should I Listen To Next. I'm Mark.
And I'm Steve.
All right, Steve, how's your week been?
Boring. Usual.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got nothing much, to be honest.
It's a quick turnaround when you do a podcast a week. It's pretty quick. Well, I have to say, for the first time ever, I bought a rat trap.
Oh, yeah?
Yep, and I say trap, I really mean killing machine.
Oh, well, no humane traps for you?
Well...
Not human.
I saw a rat in our shed twice, so decided I need to do something about it. We've got chickens, so it's probably, you know, getting some grain or whatever from there. So I mentioned it to my wife, and I did mention it to you before this, and you both asked if we had got a humane trap or, you know, what we're going to do.
Well, Mel and I are both humane people.
Yeah, and I actually thought that myself. So I went into Bunnings, had a look, and I soon realized, like, no one is relocating rats.
No.
It's not a thing. No, I don't think it's a thing. I think it's acceptable to kill rats, it seems to be.
Oh.
What are you going to do with them if you catch a rat?
Well, I don't know, teach it tricks.
Well, you could do that, I guess. But what I've got is much better than poison. I think poison kills them really slowly, doesn't it? You know, they bleed out. This is snaps their neck really quickly, apparently.
Oh, that sounds nice.
My 10-year-old daughter, Madison, is appalled that I'm trying to kill rats.
Mm.
And she's 100% on the rat's side.
Yeah.
To be honest, Steve, the rat is winning at the moment.
Your trap is empty.
Very much empty. But last week I did come across a large python in the driveway.
It's not empty. It's full of rats.
I'm wondering whether the python's done the job for me. So fingers crossed.
Well, there has been a big python on your back fence before.
Yeah.
Looking at the chickens, I remember.
Yeah. The chickens are quite big, so I think the python would be more eyeing up the eggs rather than the chickens.
Like. Yeah. Well, okay, we'll keep us posted.
I will.
And, you know, if we get any rats with broken nets, perhaps we could photograph them and...
Oh, tweet
that?
Them.
Yeah. that'd be popular. Yeah, that'd be nice.
So, yeah, anyway, Steve, this week we are reviewing Paul Mort Talks Shit. I knew nothing about this podcast, obviously. Neither did you, I don't think.
No, never heard of Paul Mort.
Yep. So I had a look at the podcast description. It was created in August the 13th, 2020, after much request to meet the high demand there was for guests to come and shoot the shit.
Mm.
So again, after kind of reading that, I still had no idea what it was.
He had a previous podcast, did you see that?
Yes, yeah. I did, I saw that, yeah. And it was basically about business. Marketing for personal trainers, wasn't it?
Like,
yeah.
He had a boot camp sort of business, I think, before...
Yeah, I mean, I had a look at his website. I'm sure you obviously did too, but what you're saying, started off as a PT and then expanded that business, sold it, and then started mentoring other PTs. So basically marketing about how to get clients.
Yeah.
And he's obviously been very successful at that.
Yeah, obviously, yeah. High profile. So high profile, we've never heard of him.
This was a little bit in the website. It was, now Paul spends his time coaching men around the world to reclaim their power, take control, find clarity, direction, and inner peace, while lighting a fire under their ass to chase their dreams and lead their family. That's
lighting farts, basically.
that's straight out of Andy Frisella, isn't it? I mean, not straight out of it. Who knows who came first, but that sounds very similar.
When I thought that, when I looked at his website, I thought these are people who are filling the same gap in the market or fulfilling the same need, but they are doing it in different ways, I think.
It's a market that I really wasn't aware of until Real AF, and now with Paul Mort.
Mm.
I guess I knew there was life coaches, but I didn't know how big a
huge,
thing this
yeah,
was.
Yeah,
you know?
It's huge. Yeah. So the one we initially decided to look at was the most recent one, which is what we tend to do if it's not an episodic sort of story sort of thing. We'll look at the most recent one, and his most recent one he had a guest on, which he seems to have on most. But his guest on this one was a lady called Leslie Mort, who's his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, a bit weird having your wife in a podcast, isn't it?
Oh, very good, Steve. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, see? You and Paul Mort, similar.
Although Kerry was complaining tonight that she hadn't been on the podcast.
Was she?
Yeah, I think she said we should have her on. Some sort of comedy bit.
I don't think she did.
She did.
I don't believe you for a second.
She did, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, there you go. All right, there's an invitation extended. You and Mark can host the podcast one week, Kerry.
The podcast, though, maybe... I mean, last week was long, an hour. If Kerry gets involved, that could be that could be short at 2 hours. You know what I mean?
That's brave. That's brave. Dear. Oh, I look forward to Kerry's reaction to that. So yeah, so he has Leslie Mort on, his wife. They sort of do an interview conversational sort of style and touch on a lot of different subjects. They have some sort of sequence to it, I think, but they really kind of...
Yeah, they, well, they, jump, said, they jump from topic to topic,
well, shoot the shit, as you said. Yeah. You know, they do, and it is conversational. It's not entirely scripted. Obviously not entirely scripted. They seem to have a something of a chemistry, I believe.
Oh, definitely,
I think they've been married for 20 plus years, so you would hope...
Yeah, I think what they met when... So. Well, they were 14 and 16 or something
very
like
young,
that.
Very young. And they met in a pub. He was a glass collector in a pub.
At 16, yeah.
At 16. And she was just in the pub at drinking 14. At 14. Yeah, and they're, well, they're from South Shields, which to my mind is Newcastle. But I think if you say that to someone from South Shields, they're up in arms at you. So yeah, 14 and 16 they met. And obviously, you know, been together a long time. As I was saying, there is a good interaction between them. I did notice he talks over this guest a little more than he talks over the other guest that we're going to talk about.
Yes, understandable.
Yeah, it is understandable. It is understandable.
Yeah, I think the way the if we could, I guess, talk about this episode, we'll talk about it quite briefly, I think. But the way I've picked it out, Steve, is that we've got certain topics that they chat about. One of them being he likes to take phone breaks. So likes to go on holiday, go without his phone.
Yes.
He makes his wife bring her phone, obviously. So, yes, it's, yes, so, yes. So it's cheating. So
what if someone needs to get in contact with you? Yeah. We'll just call Leslie. Yeah. It's fine.
But okay. I did think it is interesting. And I'm not a big social media person. In fact, I'm not on social media at all. But obviously, like anyone else in the world, I've got a mobile phone. I mean, I look up our Buzzsprout numbers. I look up, you know, sports websites. I do that. And I wonder, I listen to podcasts primarily.
Yeah.
And I wonder how I would cope. A week without a phone, 2 weeks without a phone? I mean, how do you think you'd go?
I think it'd be irritating. I went into work the other morning and I'd left my phone in the car and then went into work and was like, oh, I've left my phone in the car. Oh, that's quite annoying. And it was a bit irritating.
Yeah. I think mobile, smartphones, whatever you call them, are a very good thing. They're amazing. Yeah. It's amazing what you've got with you at all times.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I do not, if I'm not at work, if I'm running, if I'm in the garden, if I'm doing washing up, if I'm cooking, I'm listening to a podcast. It's nuts. But I actually don't use my phone. I don't know if you've, I think I've told you this. I don't worry about not having a phone because about last year, maybe 18 months ago, went on eBay and bought 4 or 5 old iPod Nanos.
Yeah.
And it cost me a fortune, to be honest. They weren't cheap. But I hate how the phone battery just dies when you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
So the battery and these old iPod Nanos, they last forever. Absolutely ever. And they're light, easy to run with. You don't care if you drop it. You know, I mean, you've got 4 in the drawer.
I mean, personally, I just stick to the mini disc player.
Yeah, it's enough.
Great, brilliant.
You call me a Luddite.
Up-to-date technology. No, hang on. No, that's not true. I just wind up the gramophone, stick it on my shoulder and go for a run.
Oh, you've got to admit, it's quite a good idea, is it?
No, I don't really understand why the Nano has died a death. Or the Shuffle. Is the Shuffle still available?
I don't think so anymore.
No,
really.
But I mean, that's, I don't like, for a while I did run with my phone on an armband thing, but it's annoyingly big.
Yeah, it's too
and
big.
And it undoes the Velcro.
Yep.
So I run very fast. No, but it's annoying.
Yeah.
And the Velcro loosens and then it slides down your arm. Whereas a Shuffle or a Nano, which is not much bigger than a Shuffle, is ideal.
But it's got to the stage now.
I think you're fighting a losing battle.
It is, because if I'm in public and I've got my Nano out.
Oh, that sounds dodgy. People ask you to put it away.
Well, no, but I've had a couple of people, like if I'm in a bar or something waiting for someone, people go past and go, oh, what's that? You know, they think it's a new phone or something. You know?
Wow, your phone's tiny.
No, this is a 10-year-old piece of technology, you know?
It's ancient. Yeah, why are we talking about, oh yeah, no phones. Yes, so... You know, they do quite a lot of chat at the start about how he goes on holiday and never has his phone and thinks it's good for mental health. But, you know, he's much more of an authority on that than I am. But I think it's different if you are constantly checking your phone and constantly checking social media stuff, which I'm not at all.
No.
The only social media
how
I'm
often
on,
do you check how many followers you've got on Twitter per day?
Wouldn't have a clue. Look, I don't have followers on Twitter, Mark. We have followers on Twitter, okay, as you well know.
What's the number up to, by the way?
I don't know.
I think you told me 328 today.
It might even be 330 by now. So, yeah, that is my only social media presence. My only social media presence. No Snapchat, no Instagram. Is that Snapchat even is that social media?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay. No Instagram, no Facebook, appallingly.
Friends reunited?
I just have a big MySpace page, that's all. Okay, but cool. No, only Twitter and only for this podcast.
Cool. That's fair enough.
So I think probably for younger people, I take his point. It's perhaps unhealthy to be constantly comparing yourself with other people and comparing unrealistic things with other people. I was shown some photos, actually, of somebody that you know.
Okay. Okay.
Somebody...
remain nameless?
They will definitely remain nameless. This person's Instagram feed. And those were those stereotypical photos of people... I think Paul Moore mentions this at some point. People standing on the beach, staring out at sea, pretending they don't know they're being photographed.
Yeah, yeah.
But the wind is blowing their hair in a particular way, and they're
on a balcony sipping a glass of champagne.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
sort of thing.
Yeah. And you know,
windswept,
like
yeah,
perfectly made up, dolled up to the max, and just a snap. Someone just took a snap. There you go. That sort of thing, I think, probably isn't that healthy.
Nah,
but that's the way the world is.
Not at all. Yeah. We'll skip on to another topic they talk about, and this is a recurring topic on his podcast, I feel. It's about getting alcohol intake under control. And, you know, the short...
That was the sound of my wine glass being put down.
The short take on this is that a good way of doing this is to set goals for yourself. And I think this is something that he tries to do with people that he coaches. You know, maybe having a fitness challenge or running a marathon, something to break the habit of alcohol. And I think that is common sense. I think, you know, we both drink a bit. Sometimes we probably drink too much. And it's definitely worth talking about and thinking about, you know, how it can become a habit.
Oh, yeah, of course it does. I mean, problem drinking is common. It's rife. It's, you know, when it holds people back. I think people who have had a problem with drinking and have managed to get that problem under control for now. I mean, obviously there's a risk of relapse for anybody who's ever had a problem with any drink, drugs, whatever. I think they can have a skewed point of view on it, maybe, and can't see. Because, well, their take on this is, oh, we never drink on holiday. Why would you drink on holiday?
Yeah.
Is that the same approach you would take?
No, but I understand that, weirdly. On holiday, if I'm not working and stuff, I can often... You can get into the habit of drinking in the afternoon and stuff, obviously. But I'm also less likely to grab a beer. You know, sometimes a beer can be a relaxation after work.
Yes.
And if you're not working, you don't have that same, oh, I owe myself a beer type thing, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough. But I don't know. I thought they sort of frowned upon people drinking on holiday.
Oh, he did actually say he didn't judge people doing that.
Yeah, but he, fair enough, drinking to excess on a family holiday, not a good idea. So anyway, they're talking about holidays, and he's talking about at one particular holiday that he had, it went quite badly wrong. His flight went quite badly wrong.
Yeah,
he was
yeah,
on his own, and he had a pretty severe panic attack. And this is, you know, back when he wasn't mentally in a very good place. And he describes it, and he's just losing it on the plane. Eventually, they phone a doctor, and the doctor says, "Right, yep, give him the pills, whatever." He obviously gets given some pretty heavy tranquilizers, gets knocked out for the rest of the flight. Everyone has a much more peaceful flight,
including him.
He's fast asleep. No worries, absolutely fine. He's got a connecting flight, I think. To gets to the gate 3 hours before the flight, misses the flight. So that's some pretty effective drugs.
Yeah, that's
cool. I don't know, drugs on planes, is that something you would...
It's not really right, is it?
No.
Not on.
I mean, okay, fair enough. These, I mean, at least, Mark, these drugs have been sanctioned by a doctor. A medical professional has said it's okay to give this man drugs. And you would be, you'd be right behind that
I know where you're going with this thing. And before you get into it, I'll give you...
Have you seen that film, The Hangover? You know, where everyone gets roofied, is that?
I did not roofie anyone.
Really?
I'll give you the facts of the story here.
Well, you give us your version of events.
Yeah. The truth, okay? I was flying from...
Alternative facts.
Flying from Dublin to Brisbane, okay? It was the second leg of that flight, which is Dubai to Brisbane. So that's a 14-hour flight, Steve.
I know.
It's a big, long flight.
Yes.
Long flight. I planned to watch some movies, have a glass of wine or two, take some temazepam, and get some sleep. Okay? So I'm fresh when I get to Brisbane.
Reasonable. Yep.
Yep. But, unfortunately, there was a young guy who was sitting beside me. He was on a working holiday visa and going to Australia for the first time. He was 19 or 20. He was
excited.
Really nice. He was obviously, you know, really excited, but he really wanted to chat. He really wanted to chat.
Oh, you'd love that, Mark.
Oh, mate. I put on my headphones. He wasn't taking the hint. You know, he kept, like, poking me and asking me, whoa, you know, what's this you're watching? It's like, okay, this is no good. So I asked him, was he good at sleeping on an airplane? Right? Because I said it's important to get some sleep. This is a long flight, you know. Because you have to go. He's going to the youth hostel when he got there and stuff. So I was thinking, mate, you'll need to be asleep.
Older brother, sort of. Yeah. Like words of wisdom. Yeah. Good.
And he said, "Oh no, he can never sleep in a plane." So I thought, here goes nothing. I said, "Look, mate, I've got some temazepam here. if you'd like to get good, a bit of sleep." And he was like, "Oh my God, that's amazing. Whoa, thanks. Are you sure?" I said, "Oh yeah." Yeah, go ahead. He said, "How many should I take?" I said,
"Dozen."
Well, no, I didn't. I said, "Oh, well, maybe take three." I would normally take 10 milligrams. I'd normally take two or three, but I thought, well, let's go three.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's worked for me in the past. 20 minutes later, out for the count for the whole flight. I think when we landed, I said goodbye to him. That was it. I had a lovely flight, Steve.
Did you take his pulse?
He was fine. He was awake when I left him, I promise you.
So there we go. How to travel peacefully.
you should always carry some extra jellies.
Have some jellies with you. Yeah, very good, very good. It reminded me a little bit, actually, of a flight that I missed. I was in Spain visiting my younger brother, when he was living there. And it was St. Patrick's Day, and we went out.
You painted green?
Well, I don't know, 'cause we seem to be the only... sort of Irish people anywhere for miles around. So we went out, had a good night out, but I had a flight early the next morning.
That's all a bad idea, though.
Well, it was a terrible idea. So, but I made it, I set my alarm, got a taxi to the airport, like just got myself through it, got to the gate, sat down, like, oh, thank goodness I can relax now, and just sit. Fell asleep. Next thing I knew, Spanish woman shaking me, going, "Are you Mr. Martin? Are you Mr. Martin?" I'm like, "Yes." Like, "We've been calling you. What have you been doing?" "This, just sleeping." And she's like, "Hurry up, everyone's on the plane." So I had to go and board the plane.
You were that person?
I was the person. Everyone's like, no one's putting their stuff away. They're all sitting in their seats.
Glaring
like,
at you.
The overhead lockers are all shut. And I'm just walking down the aisle going, "Hi, yeah, yep." With an awful, awful stench of booze coming off me. Sat down next to the person beside me. They didn't need to give me any jellies. I was fast asleep.
I bet everyone was looking at you going, "Please don't be sitting beside me. Please don't be sitting beside me."
There's one poor guy with an empty seat next to him going, "Oh, no, it's me." Yeah, so, yes. Well, we've had mishaps on flights before.
Oh, I think everyone has.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess going back to this podcast, Steve.
Yep.
There was definitely bits of advice in this episode that I agreed with. But we also have to realize it's part of a marketing of his coaching business. Seems to be very successful. Obviously appeals to a lot of people. That was going to be that until...
You noticed.
One of the previous episodes of the podcast, he had an interview with Tyson Fury. Heavyweight champion Tyson Fury.
What?
And I really wanted to give that a listen. So I immediately called you. We said... "Mate, we're going to have to listen to two episodes of this podcast because we can't not listen to this one."
Yeah, I mean, that's a big guest.
Yeah, I think Paul Mort went up in my estimation when he was able to get Tyson Fury for an interview, like a 1 hour interview.
Oh, it was quite amazing. I was like, what? Tyson Fury? I like, scrolled down. Yeah, it is. I'll tell you the sequence of events in my mind. I listened to Paul Moore talk shit, the latest episode, him with Leslie Moore. Listened to it, thought, yeah, it's all right, you know. It's not my sort of thing. You told me he's interviewed Tyson Fury. Listened to that. I thought, wow, that's amazing. Listened again to episode 8, which is him interviewing Leslie Moore, and I enjoyed it so much more. I don't know, I took him a lot more seriously, not just because he spoke to a famous person, but because he interviewed him very, very well. It was like a chat between equals, really. You know, they're just two guys from the north of England having a chat.
It was, but he was very, I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but he was very good at allowing Tyson to speak. And even though Paul Moore has obviously got an ego, he's obviously an alpha male, he actually was able to sit back and allow Tyson Fury to actually speak.
You think it'd be difficult, would it? To sit back and let the heavyweight champion of the world have a few words.
Well, I guess not.
You think you'd be interrupting him all the time. No, Tyson, no.
Tyson,
come
that,
on
that
now.
That reminds me of a time when I scored a goal for my school football team.
Yeah. Your heavyweight belt, that reminds me of a medal I won at the school sports day, actually. No, but you're right, you're right. I think he directs them a bit. You know, he's obviously got a plan for the interview and he wants to ask him about certain things. And Tyson Fury, I think, has come on this show probably because he's obviously publicly and famously suffered from mental health problems at the top of his game, like literally at the top of at the top of the world. He won the undisputed heavyweight title of Vladimir Klitschko, beat him, and then just went off the rails. I don't know if you're supposed to say that, but he went off the rails. But he'd suffered with mental health issues for a long time before that.
I've got to cut that out. Well,
I think you should leave it in.
I didn't mean it in a bad way.
But he'd suffered from mental health issues in the past, and as he says in this interview, that was an amazing high. And he said, inevitably, there's a low that follows a high. And Paul Moore has a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, and I think as does Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
And it's just proof that it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, whatever, mental health, depression, doesn't obey any rules. He's a heavyweight champion of the world. He's incredibly wealthy, incredibly successful, incredibly popular. Doesn't matter. He feels like absolute crap.
On that point, Steve, he mentions at one stage that he would give up everything. He would live in a tent at the side of the road, give up all his money to never feel the way he felt when he was at his most mentally low.
Yeah.
I think that's stark, you know, and people won't believe that because he's got so many millions and millions and millions in the bank. Hmm. But he earnestly and honestly feels that.
He's a pretty down-to-earth sort of fella as well.
Well, obviously.
He seems to be. No, no, but honestly, he's either he's very good at coming across as that or
no,
he is.
No, he is. He obviously is.
But, you know, I just think of other heavyweight champions. Would they have done an interview like this? No way.
No, and it was impressive that, I mean, this interview was not a boxing interview. Boxing was barely mentioned.
Just
an excellent interview. It made me think a lot. I mean, I knew quite a bit about Tyson Fury. I listened to a lot of sporting podcasts. I've heard him speak before. But it really made me think more of the guy. He was just very
absolutely
good.
I mean, I may as well. I had heard him speak before, never at length, though. Never really listened to a long interview and an interview that wasn't like, okay, so who are you going to fight next? Yeah. Or what are you saying about Deontay Wilder saying he's going to beat you up? You know,
I guess the thing, Steve, I had heard about him, which had sort of changed my mind about him, was, do you remember the first Deontay Wilder fight, the draw?
Yeah.
He earned $7 million for that, as his purse, Tyson Fury did. And he gave all of that away to British charities for homeless and alcohol addiction.
You're kidding me.
This whole purse.
The whole thing?
Yeah. He's not as big as he is now, you know, but he gave $7 million away, yeah.
Yeah, so at that time, though, his career was probably on a knife edge.
Yeah, exactly. If he had lost that, he would have still had lots of big fights. He still would have not struggled for money for the rest of his life. But he wouldn't have been as...
Mega wealthy.
Mega wealthy, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Dude, that makes me think even more of him. I mean, he comes across really well. And as I say, it's a very open, honest interview that I don't think you would get from many, if any, celebrities. And he's a celebrity. He's a sportsman. He's a celebrity.
I mean, we're giving him a lot of praise right now. And people will be, who are aware of him, will be saying, well, you know, maybe you should mention that he has said some very homophobic things in the past and some very misogynistic things in the past.
Yep.
And I think he has addressed that his upbringing had part to do with that. His mental state had part to do with that. And he feels like he's educated himself, you know, apologized or tried to explain the things he said because he was in a bad place, you know. Yeah. And I guess actions speak louder than words, and his actions certainly have been when it comes to crusading for mental health issues or for homeless issues. He's done a lot. Yeah.
You've got to allow people a chance to redeem themselves. You have to. And I think he has.
Definitely. Look, we go back to the interview itself. We've been talking very generally about it. Some little facts from it. Steve, Tyson Fury at his lowest point, or biggest point, was 28 stone.
Yeah.
Now, do you know what that is in kilos, Steve? Do you like a quiz?
I don't like a quiz, Mark. Do I know what that is in kilos? No, nope. I have no idea.
It was just because we're talking kilos more.
120.
You know? 177.
No way.
177 kilos.
Okay.
That's crazy. Heavy. I mean, he's very tall. What height do you think he is?
His normal weight is like 18 stone, isn't it?
In his fight against Deontay Wilder, he weighed in at 116 kilos. So, yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. Probably. What height is he? 6'6"?
6'9".
6'9"? Oh, yeah. He's a big lad.
He's a big fella, isn't he?
And you're saying that Paul Mort gave him, you know, sort of free rein to say what he wanted? Is that what you're saying?
It's weird, eh?
It's weird.
But imagine, yeah, being that build, that size. And, like, as he said, he's fought all his life. He's from a... famously, he's from the traveling community.
Mm-hmm. And he is the Gypsy King.
He is the Gypsy King, after all. And famously, you know, boys in that community will often box or fight.
Yep.
And that's a bit of an advantage for him there, isn't
You've
it?
You've seen Snatch.
Yeah.
He's not Brad Pitt. He's slightly bigger than Brad Pitt.
He's bigger.
He did say, look, he'd always been good at boxing. Just sort of naturally good at boxing. He's a monster. He's a big lad.
He is, but actually...
He's a very talented boxer.
Technically. I mean, he is a technician. He's not a boxer. He's not a bruiser. He's a boxer.
No, he's a boxer. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He will outbox people. Although he's obviously big enough to just dominate people, but...
But it's funny because he's not... Like, Deontay Wilder is a much smaller man with a much bigger punch than Tyson Fury has.
Yeah.
But Fury's a better boxer by a mile.
Oh, by a mile. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I see, Steve, you talked earlier about, you know, the bipolar that he has massive highs. And when that subsides, there's massive lows and can be very difficult to deal with. But he's developed a way of dealing with this. In fact, in the last Wilder fight, which was a Saturday night, I think he flew home on the Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he went straight back to his routine of exercise. And more interestingly, Steve, tip runs.
He was
so for people
tip.
Out there, that's dump runs or recycling center runs, or whatever you want to call it.
He said it like, I'm back into my routine, back into my training, back into my tip runs. I thought, what's a tip run? Is that like you run,
tip
you run, you tip over something,
a wheelbarrow,
and run by it. What is that? And then he talks about like bags of rubbish on the back of a truck that he's bought specifically for his tip runs. Yeah.
That's right. He says he doesn't recycle; it's too complicated. Right?
No.
He says. He wants to get more bins, right? But the council won't give him any more. The council won't give him more. So he's bought a truck, gathers up rubbish every day, and drives it up to the tip. He says they're sick of the sight of him up there.
Well, he gathers up rubbish every day, but he only goes to the tip once a week.
Is it not twice? Oh, is it once a week?
It's once a week.
Is it just once a week?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's his favourite day of the week.
Yeah.
But he loads it up with bags of rubbish. And then Paul Mort says to him, all right, what is it you're throwing out? He's like, just household rubbish.
I was saying that, like, it's very hard to imagine other heavyweight champions of the world doing this. Can you imagine Evander Holyfield doing a tip run every week?
No.
Lennox Lewis. I mean, no way.
They wouldn't know where the local tip is. No way.
They'd have a man for that, wouldn't they?
No. Evander Holyfield has no idea where the tip of his ear is, does he?
Oh!
Hey. Mike Tyson's got it. Yeah, no, I like that. I think he's very down to earth, very down to earth. In fact, during the interview, I think his truck, he says, it's outside now with about 30 bags of rubbish on it because the tip was closed this morning. It's real good. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's so
he's just a normal guy, just much, much larger and better at boxing.
No, see, the other part of that with the tip runs was his exercise, right? Mm-hmm. So this is not training for a fight. This is his normal week. His routine of exercise, he trains 3 times a day, Monday to Friday. He does a massive run on a Saturday. Then he rests on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, well, what is this massive run? He doesn't tell us. But if he gets restless on a Sunday, yeah, he'll do a 10-mile run.
Just do a 10-miler.
So
yeah.
So what's the Saturday
run? What's
the
massive run? It must be massive.
Yeah.
And he's 116 kilos slash yeah. 18
oh,
stone.
Oh, he'd be bigger than that because that's his fighting weight. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
It's weird. I would never have guessed that Tyson Fury's favorite form of exercise was running. Mm-hmm. You would think like it'd be into the like the power short duration exercises, but no,
I'd have thought
he wants
it'd be
to
like
run.
Throwing, tossing a caber or something.
Yeah, perfect like build for that.
Tossing 20 cabers a day or something. Yeah, yeah. Like that's what I'd have thought. But no, he loves a run. He loves a run. And he says like the harder the better.
Yeah.
Likes a gut
he
buster.
He likes going up hills.
Yeah, total gut buster. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, gosh, amazing.
I mean, it's all this fun stuff. I guess we mix it in with a little bit of serious stuff when they do talk, both him and Paul Mort talk that say that, you know, mental illness, talking is vital to people. You know, there's a lot of thing these days about men talking about each other. Are you okay, mate? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
But they both say that is not enough. That's not enough by itself. You need to seek professional advice hand in hand with that. Yeah. You know, and I think that's something that they push a lot. So I think we should mention that that's something they feel very passionate about because I think they've both done the thing of talking and said to people and maybe even went to see professionals. Yeah. But then left it at that and not actually followed through with the professional advice or the
initially, and then realised,
hold on, actually, you need that help.
Yeah, we should listen to the experts. But no, it's an excellent interview. It's an excellent interview. And as I say, listen to this and then listening back to the other one, it changed my view a little bit. So I've got a lot of time for the guy, actually, Paul Mort.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I've got an awful lot of time for Tyson Fury. I mean, but always did admire him tremendously. But, you know, he's a mega famous athlete. He's the world
I actually think that, and this is a good example for us, Steve, that we've come into reviewing this podcast and happened upon the interview with him talking to his wife, which was always going to be a very much a different podcast than what he is normally putting out. And mm-hmm. so if we had to listen to Tyson Fury first, you know, then the one with his wife, it's a totally different thing than just listening to the interview with his wife. Which I took good things from, but I got more from it, I guess, knowing Paul Mort more or hearing him talk to Tyson Fury more. So, it's definitely thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's interesting. It's real interesting stuff. Are we scoring it?
I don't know.
Given that up altogether?
I thought I've given it up altogether. I've got a few more things to say about the podcast as well, Steve. I'm editing it, so I'll keep talking. We talk about UFC as well.
Oh, yes.
Briefly. Yep. Tyson Fury is such a big star, he features in the UFC video game, even though he's not in the UFC.
Yep.
That's a pretty cool thing.
What is he? I presume you don't know, but is he a character that you can...
Yeah.
He's a fighter?
Yeah.
He just boxes?
I guess so. I guess his boxing skills are higher than his grappling skills, but yeah.
Probably.
But I actually did think that, again... He was smart. So this guy's a heavyweight champion of the world. You expect him to say, yeah, I'd go there and kick their ass, you know? Mm-hmm. But he says there, yeah, I'd love to go there and fight them stand-up fights because, you know, with those little gloves, I'd knock their heads in. Mm-hmm. But he says, I can't because as soon as it gets to the ground, those Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys will just have me in big trouble.
Yeah.
And they would.
Yeah.
They totally would. And he's smart enough to know that.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember when we were at school... A friend of mine, Gavin, was into like martial arts and stuff.
Right.
So we bought some UFC 1, UFC 2, UFC 3, you know, the real early ones watched them.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
But that was so interesting because there was like, it was boxers versus karate versus jiu-jitsu, you know, versus sumo, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And the boxers were great if they caught you in the first 2 minutes. If they didn't, they're done.
absolutely
because
finished,
they just get them to the ground, you know. And we're talking about that actually, myself and Owen a few months ago, I think it was on YouTube, I can't remember, UFC 1, there's a documentary about UFC 1 out there, might be on YouTube, might be on something else, I'll have to check that out. It's so good. UFC right. 1, like just this concept of all these different martial artists coming together and just fighting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's quite brutal. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it would be. It's not one for pacifists, is it, UFC?
Oh, no, it's not. And I'm not often the biggest fan of it, but that documentary is interesting.
I prefer boxing, much prefer boxing to UFC.
Yep.
To me, it seems more civilized. It seems more like, yeah, there are definite rules here.
Yeah.
It's not just, it's violent. It's not just violence.
So anyway, Steve, this was a brilliant interview. Tyson Fury is very engaging and funny. Paul Moore, as I said before, did the right thing, let him speak. And it made us think that, you know, the episode with Paul Moore and his wife, we both really enjoyed it too.
You sound like you're getting a bit choked up there, Mark.
I think it's his wine.
just it's so romantic. The episode with Paul Moore and his wife. It's lovely.
Very good. Very good. I'll definitely be keeping a check on the podcast for other big interviews. Because I think obviously Paul Moore can attract those sort of kind of people.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll listen every week, but I did really enjoy this podcast. And, you know, men talked about mental health and about how to be happier in your life. And, you know, we're in that middle age sort of bracket as well, where that becomes a big factor. I think it's really important. Thought it was very, very good. And I guess we are giving marks out of 10, are we, for our main interviews? Or
I think so. I think for these weeks.
For these main reviews, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give this one like a solid 7.
I would give it also a solid 7, based on an average of the two, because it would give the Tyson Fury interview much higher. But, you know, that's just the allure of celebrity a bit. My admiration for him. I don't know Leslie Mort. I kind of admire her for being married to Paul Mort. He's right, he does talk shit a bit. But, you know, he's a very affable character and actually very easy to listen to. So, yeah, no, I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it. And if you've got any interest in these kind of things, definitely give it a listen. But you know what, Mark? I know you love a quiz.
Yep,
I do
not love a quiz.
Slightly concerned since last week that your knowledge of the north of England is poor.
What have I done?
Well, I don't know. You describe it's Murder Up North's narrator as being from Yorkshire.
Where's she from?
She's from Lancashire.
That's based. Is that Lancashire not in Yorkshire?
Don't say that. What are you doing? You're making this worse.
Oh, I'm going to meet Chris tomorrow from Burnley. He's not going to be happy about this either.
Well, she got in touch on Twitter.
Did she? Oh, yeah, gosh.
She did. She did. She liked your review, but she did say she's from Lancashire.
She was happy with the review, though?
Irate. Absolutely irate. No, she was happy with the review. So, I've thought, okay, where's Paul Mort from?
South Shields.
Which is basically where?
Newcastle.
Yes. So, the toon. Right. As you know, Newcastle is in the north of England.
Yep.
Good.
Is that 1 point?
No. We have not started yet. As you also know, Mark, being a big Knights fan, where's the other Newcastle? One of the other Newcastles?
New South Wales.
County Down, Northern Ireland.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the
Knights. No, it is. It is. New South Wales. So, I have got questions on Newcastle, New South Wales, and Newcastle upon Tyne in the north of England.
Okay.
And I want to know which you know more about. The people want to know. Everyone wants to know.
That's interesting.
Which Newcastle
okay.
do you know more about? Would you like your questions on Newcastle's New South Wales first, or would you like Newcastle upon Tyne first?
You choose, Steve. Doesn't matter.
I feel you're not entering into the spirit of this quiz, Mark. I'm giving you New South Wales first.
Okay.
Which iconic Australian rock band who sing the song Tomorrow are from Newcastle?
Iconic. Tomorrow. Okay. Can you give me an era?
Recent. Relatively recent. 2000s.
Powderfinger?
If you actually just said that.
No, I don't know.
Powderfinger. Where are Powderfinger from?
I don't know. Brisbane, are they?
Of course they're from Brisbane. They could have like an album called Vulture Street.
I don't know any. Oh, of course they do.
Oh my gosh.
All right. I don't know.
And there goes all our Australian fans.
Let me think then. Wolfmother.
Silverchair.
Okay.
All right, okay. Well, Newcastle upon Tyne has got the edge here.
Your quizzes are garbage, by the way.
They're really good. They're really good. Cold callers loved them. They've got back to me. Said, that's the best quiz we've ever done. Brilliant.
What did they say about our quizzing skills and their podcast?
That doesn't come out yet. We're hoping it never does. okay. Which famous bridge does the Tyne Bridge resemble?
Tyne Bridge? I don't know. Golden Gate Bridge?
Well, no. I was going to give you a multiple choice. Golden Gate is one of those. I assume you would have chosen that. It was the Bridge of Sighs, Brooklyn Bridge, Golden Gate Bridge, or Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Oh, maybe Brooklyn Bridge?
Oh, dear. You're digging yourself a deeper hole here.
Sydney?
Right, okay. So, I'll tell you this. This is a bit of trivia for you. Mott, Hay and Anderson designed both the Tyne Bridge and the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
Cool.
The Tyne Bridge was completed in 1928. The Sydney Harbour Bridge is 1932, but was started earlier because it's a much bigger bridge.
How much you know about stuff.
It's just all off the top of my head here, Mark. Just all off the top of my head. Okay, what is the official Newcastle festival called? That's in Newcastle, New South Wales. And you used to live relatively near to it, so I'm assuming you'll know this.
The festival, what sort of festival?
It's an arts festival.
Festivus? That's the Seinfeld reference this episode.
Very good. Matara Festival. No. Okay. Okay.
God's sake.
What is the name of the... This is Newcastle upon Tyne.
Right.
What is the name of the controversial sculpture completed by Anthony Gormley in 1998?
Angel of the North.
Yes! Well done. Newcastle upon Tyne takes the lead. Oh, people are on the edges of their seats here. Newcastle.
Okay, how many more questions do we have, Steve?
How many do you want?
Let's keep it to maybe one more each.
Newcastle was a penal settlement, that's as in punishment.
Not penal,
settlement until what year? 1822, 1884, 1846, or 1832?
Did you just say four different ones that are like really, really close together? There's no point in knowing the difference between them. Effectively, they're all the same.
No, Mark. There are decades between
Okay,
these.
C.
Wrong. Okay. It was D. 1832.
What an idiot.
1832, you're a tube. Okay, what was the... This is similar, to make it fair.
Okay.
When was the first castle built upon the Tyne?
Was it?
Oh, you'll like this, actually. There are centuries between these. So you'll prefer this as a question.
I would prefer it. Yeah, well...
Okay. Here we go. When was the first castle built on the Tyne? Was it in 1220, 1455, 852, or 1080?
A.
A.
1220.
No, Mark. 1080, the Normans built it. It was a wooden Mott and Bailey style castle. So, sorry. Oh dear.
So, is that it done? The Newcastle upon Tyne win?
Yeah, okay, I have one final question.
Newcastle upon Tyne, or whatnot. I would like people to contact us and tell us what we think of the quiz, the style of the quiz master, that sort of thing.
I don't think people will be contacting you with anything other than high praise for the Quizmaster. Okay, I'm going to give you three Newcastles, and you're going to tell me the populations of each of them. Newcastle, New South Wales, Newcastle upon Tyne, and the best Newcastle of them all, Newcastle, County Down.
Okay, do you have the three, and then I have to put them in the correct positions?
Put them in the correct order, and then give me your best guess for the population.
Okay, well, I'll start from the lowest... Okay. Population. Okay. I'll go Newcastle, County Down, Northern Ireland.
Ooh, correct.
Second. This is a wee bit confusing, but I will go for Newcastle in England as the second largest. Newcastle and New South Wales is the largest.
Okay, you're incorrect.
Oh, bollocks!
Newcastle in England. It's a very densely populated area in the northeast. Okay, so I'll give you the numbers.
Okay, right.
You're going to give me the numbers, or do I want?
I'll try.
Okay, give it a go.
Because when we
you're having so much fun.
I'm just such a...
You don't want the fun to end.
Such a punch bag for your rubbish quiz. Okay, Newcastle, Northern Ireland. I will say 50,000.
7,500.
Oh, that's a lot less than I thought. Okay. 7,500?
It's tiny.
Okay, I guess.
It's small.
Okay,
it's
small. I guess. Okay, Newcastle.
You're thinking of summer population when everyone goes for the musies.
Yeah, I guess. And New South Wales next.
Yep.
I'm going to say...
It's bigger. It's
going to say 1 million.
Okay. I think you're something of an exaggerator, Mark. It's 463,052, so half a million.
Half a million. And Newcastle, England, I will say 750,000.
Oh, good, actually. 879,996, so 880, basically. That's a decent guess.
Shut up, Steve.
Hard to call a winner on that one. We're just going to say Newcastle lost.
Would you say you won?
Let's just say that. Okay, so that rounds up the quiz. Mark, there were no other contestants, but you came last again. Feel free to set a quiz any week.
It's horrific.
Just set the quiz
up. It's so stupid. You don't give me a chance. Anyway, guys, we're moving on. Quiz is done. We have to work out what we're reviewing next week.
What are we reviewing next week, Mark? How do we work this out?
Well, we're going to review some indie podcasts. We're going to choose a category and we're going to ask you guys to hit us up on Twitter, give us some suggestions for it.
Yep.
And so, Steve, we're going to use your spinning wheel.
Okay, right. Hang on, get my phone. Okay.
All right, mate, off you go.
I'll press go. And
what have we got?
We have music.
Oh, cool. Music. I actually don't really listen to any music podcasts, so this will be interesting.
Yeah, sorry, board game's not on the wheel, Mark, so...
The quiz is over. You're not going to slag me off anymore.
Oh, sorry. All right, okay.
No, that'll be cool. So, yeah, please get in touch.
Music podcasts. Yeah. There are plenty of our friends on Twitter that have music podcasts, but anybody else listening, please send us some suggestions. Don't forget, @podcastshould is our handle on Twitter, and that's the best place to contact us.
Cheers, Steve.
Cheers, Mark.